Hello and welcome to Talking Trading. I'm Caroline Steve and it's great to have you company. Online broking is the fastest growing sector in the investing arena. And today we speak to Rick Klink and Genevieve Wood from Open Markets on the cost benefits of online broking, as well as the exciting evolution of the finance industry. Louise Bedford also tells us the power of tenacity in mind power. We also have trading trivia. But first up, here's the news for the week ending 17th of October with economist and Sky Business News commentator, Jonathan Barrett. Jono Barrett, hello and welcome.
Good morning, Caroline.
How did the US markets close last week?
Well, it's quite a very eventful close, actually. All week we've had prices which have been pretty weak, and equity prices have all been quite weak. A little bit of news that came out of Europe and from the Fed, and it sparked a rally in the Dow, which was up 263 points, which reversed a lot of those losses during the week, and actually perhaps sets the course for the Dow to start to have a little bit more of a bull run.
And what about the Australian market?
The Aussie has been quite interesting because it's actually fallen by the wayside in respect to weak iron ore prices. But we did see a bounce in iron ore prices, and as a result of that, the Aussie market actually led the rally in the global equity markets, believe or not. Perhaps for different things and different reasons, but the Aussie market closed the week very good. I think the important thing is that the Aussies leading, but with the bounce in the States, there's a change in rhetoric that the market's having to deal with. And to me, that's quite important. The EU's looking to put more stimulus together, and the US is going to slow or potentially slow its rate of purchases, bond purchases, and actually reiterated that they won't change interest rates. So that'll put a positive bias towards the markets for most of the week.
All right. What about patterns jumping out from the charts?
I think when you look at the charts at the moment, you've seen a low, particularly in that Dow. You know, if you have that low around 16,250, then you could see quite a good bounce there. And a break of 16,450 on the Dow set in motion a good rally back through to that 17,000. So keep an eye on that. I think when you look at the charts, keep an eye on what's happening in the primary input market, particularly that iron ore, copper, and oil. Now, we've got some very important data this week, and that's coming out of China. We've got industrial production, which is expected to be a better number, retail sales lower, but more importantly, GDP. And if the market get a sense that GDP is recovering in China, then that'll bode well for iron ore, primary import markets, and also add more weight to a move higher for the local market.
Hot and cold sectors.
I think when you look at the hot and cold areas, let's have a look at the mining sector, because that's really come under a lot of pressure. And I think when you've seen a little bit of a bounce there in the primary import market, then you'll probably see that that area will start to pick up again. Also, financials will probably come back into play if we find that interest rates are going to be lower for a lot longer, and that'll put a positive spin back on there.
Opportunities you're looking at this week, Jono?
Believe it or not, I'm looking at the oil market. The oil market's been decimated over the last month, and around that US 80, we actually think there's a bit of a low. A couple of interesting plays there. It's 82.50 at the moment. And I think that 80 is quite a significant low. I think one of the interesting things to look at is what's happening in the oil market, particularly with Saudi Arabia and the US production of their oil sands oil. Now, perhaps not we can't talk a lot about it, but more importantly, there's a price war going on. That price war is going on, which is driving prices lower. But given that we're seeing a little bit more of a recovery in the rhetoric, it could actually squeeze quite a few shorts, and that could see the price of oil actually trade back. Backwards through to that to $85, maybe $90 a barrel. So keep an eye on that. I think that could be quite a good trade.
Advice to traders this week?
Just be very close to a lot of the data. We do have, as I mentioned, Chinese data, which will be quite important today, sort of out during the week. Also, we've got Australian CPI and US CPI later in the week. So keep a close eye on that. Hopefully those numbers will continue to show benign growth in inflation pressures. The US will keep open its stimulus. Keep open its stimulus should be positive for equities.
Jono Barrett, thanks for your time.
No problems, Caroline. Have a good day.
FX traders. Some of them make money hand over fist. Others end up in the fetal position, licking their wounds. What separates the brilliant traders from the mediocre? Well, among other things, it's the tools they use. That's what our sponsors at Tradeology think. If you want a piece of the FX action, just go to talkingtrading.com.au, click on the Tradeology advertisement, and get instant access to their brand new indicator. Go to talkingtrading.com.au. Who was it who said success is doing what you want, when you want, where you want, with whom you want, and as much as you want? And the answer is none other than Anthony Robbins. This week's trivia question is, which British businessman was the real winner of the Napoleonic Wars when he pulled off one of the most audacious moves in financial history? Find out the answer next time. And now Mind Power with Louise Bedford.
It continues to astonish me what a fantasy the general public has about being a trader. It's a rare day that I don't encounter someone who wants to trade places with me. Otherwise sane people tell me how much they envy me. I wish I could trade for a living, they tell me. I envy your discipline, which they usually utter on the very same day that I've had to bribe myself with chocolate to fill in that bloody form my accountant has been nagging me endlessly for. Interestingly, they never say, I wish I had your tenacity, or I wish I could stick with an incredibly boring task for 20 years the way you have. With trading, it's these qualities more than almost any other that create a bank account stuffed full of cash. The ability to stick with a task, even when you don't feel like it. That's what counts here. Some trading days or weeks, it just seems that the market is literally throwing money your way and you can't put a foot wrong. These are not the times where you need tenacity. Other times, it seems that no matter how closely you follow your trading plan, you've somehow fallen out of sync with the ebbs and flows of the share market. Oh yeah, baby, they're the times when you need to dig deep. Every once in a while, somebody does become an effective trader by accident. However, I'm here to tell you that rarely do these people stay as traders for very long. To excel over the long term, you have to desire it with a single-minded passion. Without that spark of enthusiasm from deep within your gut, you will just not make it in the long haul. So dig deep. This week, find your enthusiasm. Don't let your energy drop. Find your passion. And go on, put on another trade, because that's your solution.
Online broking is the latest buzzword in the finance industry. Rick Klink, Managing Director of Open Market, shares with us his views on this revolution in the broking industry, as well as his insights on the future of trading. Rick and Genevieve, hello and welcome to the show.
Hi, Carolyn. Great to be here.
So what are the benefits of online broking?
Yeah, thanks, Carolyn. Yeah, online broking is probably the fastest growing segment in the investing area. One of the huge advantages right now with online broking is it's just got a huge price advantage. The days of having $100 trades and 1% cost are pretty well long gone now. Everybody is trading as it's a commodity now, so people can get research from somewhere and get very cost-effective trading. So from $100, we're now down to $13.95 a trade at open markets. So it's been huge changes and makes it much more cost-effective for people to invest.
So, Rick, what changes on the horizon to help traders do what they do best, trade?
Yeah, it's massive changes coming on in the industry with computers and automation. Right now, we go to a website, we pick a stock and we execute a trade. Now they're getting faster. We've got pure stock trading. We've got new things coming down the track. For example, managed fund trading is coming along next with the Australian Stock Exchange. So people now can use their brokerage account and buy more than just shares. They can buy them quickly, cheaply, and more asset classes are coming online. So in the old days, you'd need to go to a platform and buy managed funds and things from that point of view, but now you can do it directly from your brokerage account.
Rick, how are you helping the industry move forward to make traders' lives easier?
It's a good question. Yeah, we're spending a lot of time in – we're unique in that we're an independent online broker. So with us, we're allowing people to use other cash providers. So with some of the online broking, you need to use their cash. What we're doing at Open Markets is we're opening it so you can use any cash provider for trading, and we're adding them on one by one. So that gives it independence from the point of view of you don't need to move cash from and to various financial institutions. So we make it easier from a cash point of view. You can use other product providers, your margin lenders, research providers. We're trying to make it so that people can choose what providers they use for all the elements required to do their trading.
So in 10 years' time, what do you think online broking will look like?
The crystal ball question.
Mm.
What we're seeing coming along is at the moment, traditionally we've used a financial planner to help us decide what shares to buy and sell, or an accountant or a stockbroker. What we're seeing coming along now is the next step, where computers, people are using computers now to help decide what stocks to buy and sell and how much to put in growth and income assets. And so it's a new term now called robo-advice. It's coming down the line where you can use a computer and it'll work out and do a needs analysis and help suggest what stocks to buy and sell or what funds to get into. So computers are coming into all parts of our lives.
And do you think robo-advice will become commonplace for traders?
It is. It's becoming quite popular because a lot of people, they don't necessarily need to pick a stock. What they do is they buy a group of stocks. So you buy what's called, for example, an ETF, an exchange traded fund. So with you buy one security or one code and you're buying a basket, for example, the ASX 50, the top 50 companies. So you do one transaction and then you own all of the ASX 50 or the ASX 200. And so nowadays, what happens, you have a certain amount of money to invest, and the program can tell you buy this particular, if you like, a tracking index, and you very quickly get very diversified and you track the market. And it's much easier for people that don't choose to pick individual stocks. They can just buy the index, and the tools are getting much better now to automatically make selections of how much money to put in, when to go out, those kind of questions. And it's kind of an example of the robo-advice area.
Do you think we'll be able to connect globally to markets in the future?
Global's the next really interesting area. Traditionally, it's been very expensive. People like to buy companies they know. So people want to buy some Apple stock or Nintendo. Traditionally, it's been too expensive. It's been in the hundreds of dollars to buy a stock offshore. It's coming. We're only 2 or 3% in Australia of the world's capital market, so people should be looking offshore. Traditionally, it's been, again, too expensive. We're heavily focused now on making it much cheaper to buy US or UK or other markets so that people can have a nicely diversified portfolio with Australian and offshore stock. And it allows them really to better represent the global world situation with a balanced portfolio. So our challenge as a business is to try to get that cost down from hundreds of dollars a trade into something more resembling the price we charge in Australia. And I think we can make overseas investing much more popular if we can drop that price to those kind of substantial levels. So it's our number one focus at the moment. And our overall focus as a business is just to remove cost out of trading in general.
Social media, it's everywhere. Will there be a lot more social media in trading?
It truly, social media has come into all parts of our lives. We've all got Facebook accounts and everything. So we're starting to see a little bit in the US now where people on Twitter and Facebook are making recommendations and other people are following. So it's slowly coming into Australia now. It's got some regulatory challenges in terms of how do you monitor those kind of things. Here in Australia, we've got the Australian Securities Commission and all the others. It gets sometimes a little bit confusing where the advice or where the social media is coming from, and is it biased or is it in your interest? So I think it's a terrific opportunity where people can use social media and follow other good traders. We've just got to keep in mind how do we regulate it so that you don't have people spruiking stocks for their own benefit and other cases where it probably wouldn't be in the investor's interest where the advice is coming from. We need to know what's the advice, is it unbiased, and that's the challenge, I think, for social media we've still got to sort out.
What do you think about that, Jen?
I think so. I actually think that's going to be the next
thing that we see over the next 10 years. I see it more as there'll be companies or data companies that come up with a portfolio tracking, so where perhaps they're anonymous performance data of people's portfolios, and other investors can choose to track these anonymous traders based on their performance, and then do like have like an auto trade following that those portfolios. If that particular anonymous trader makes a portfolio change, then perhaps that investor gets a flag where then they'll sell or buy based on that person's portfolio. So kind of like mirroring a and also down what Rick was saying about how just using social media as a platform to make recommendations.
Open markets, are you the way of the future?
I think so, absolutely. I think we've got a fantastic business model in this market. We're independent. We build and manage all our technology in-house, and we're fully outsourced, as Rick mentioned, to the cloud via Amazon. And I think it's those key things that give us the power. So we've got all the powers of the power of the big guys. We can scale up or down our broking based on volume for that day. We've got the in-house technology, which allows us to be responsive to not just client demand but industry demand. And our independence allows us to connect our broking to virtually any third party we choose. That's why we're in a really good position going forward.
Hi, I'm Caroline Stephen, financial journalist and the host of Talking Trading, Australia's most popular share trading podcast. Each week I interview the industry's biggest names and give you up-to-the-minute market news. Find out what the movers and shakers are doing so you gain an edge in today's markets. Go to talkingtrading.com.au and subscribe now to the free podcast. That's talkingtrading.com.au. And that's all we have for you today. I'd like to thank our contributors, Jonathan Barrett, Rick Klink, Genevieve Wood and Louise Bedford. Stay tuned next week to hear Ashley Jessen on creating multiple trading systems for different market types. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. We'll see you next time.
Talking Trading is sponsored by tradinggame.com.au and The Mentor Program. The Mentor Program has been running continuously since the year 2000 and is a six-month, repeat-for-free course run by Chris Tate and Louise Bedford. Make sure you're registered on tradinggame.com.au to hear more.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.